Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. In our center studio is Cynthia Hofstranger. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Happy. It's so warm out.
Yes, it's nice to have the warm weather back. It is nice to have the warm weather back. But it was nice to get a little trial run in because we found out that a little part of my furnace didn't work and they had to come out and fix it. And then much better to find out now
than
when it's like 14.
Yes, there is some leaf turning already, though, which is
discouraging. Very sad. Leaf turning and falling.
Leaf turning, falling, and dark. Yeah. Other than that, great. Next.
Right. So we'll take what we can get.
That's right. So anyway, that's a nice introduction to the show today. And I'm sure Janet will be joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, here she is by the magic of AT&T, Fairpoint, whoever, Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. So now we can look right at the front page of the Lakeville Journal. And yes, we have to go to the dog, the way we were. A great picture by Alexander Wilburn of a dog, a boy, and his tractor.
Alex was just at the Ag Fair, and I said, you know what I really want is the cow chip contest. But because he's such a great photographer, he caught this perfect image. And if I ran that photo in black and white and said to you, we had that photo from 1957, you would believe me. It's just a great, timeless Cornwall type photo. And of course, we have more photos and coverage inside of the Cornwall Ag Fair, which has only been in going on for 26 years, which I think is kind of funny, but
it's a baby. It's a baby.
It's a baby, yeah.
All right. To the left of that, you have the story about North Canaan being the last town in the region to pass their budgets.
And of course, our fiscal years around here begin on July 1st, and so they're quite late, and they can be forgiven because they had it's a town without a huge tax base, and they're most likely to get hit the hardest by the state's budget planning, which should have been passed by now and hasn't. And so they've been sort of trying to sit and wait and see, especially on education spending, what their requirement is going to be. And they finally just went through. They reduced their own spending plans, which is hard because, of course, none of these towns is wasting money. And they approved two budgets at a town meeting last week. But it's likely that all of our towns are going to have to go back and get new appropriations once the final budget plan from the state is settled.
I think today was the date where the state was shooting for. But
I believe it. But they were also shooting for dates. Yeah. let's say it's not the first date we're shooting for.
No, absolutely not. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, before we get to the story on the building sale, I saw the headline, "What's Up with Birch Hill?" And you know what came to my mind?
Root beer.
What?
Root beer.
No, a lot of people won't realize this. I just got a text from the engineer.
He said, I'm on it.
He's on it.
Will do.
He's good.
Will
He's
do
very
what?
Good. He went to school to learn how to
will
do that. That's very good.
Will do what?
I have no idea. But anyways, I'm sorry I had to break in there and say that. Birch Hill. When I was a kid, Thunder Ridge used to be the Birch Hill ski area.
Oh, I remember.
On Route 22.
I think I
knew
that.
There was a Birch Hill restaurant right out in front of it. And
right.
It was the Birch Hill. So anyways.
What's up with Birch Hill? Interesting.
Well, I wonder if they knew about that, if there's some connection to
I don't think so.
The general name in this area.
But anyways, but Birch Hill in Kent is the proposed drug and alcohol and residential thing. And it looks like there's a little worm in the ointment.
Well, there's been a lot of opposition to it, and a lot of opposition from Mountainside, which is the other recovery center in Kent, and which actually, if you look at the property transfers, I think they're in this week. Maybe they'll be in next week. But
Mountainside's in Canaan.
I'm sorry.
Thank
you. High Watch. High Watch just actually purchased a large piece of property in Kent contiguous to the property they already have. So it'll be interesting to see what's actually going on there. But a lot of pushback from High Watch. Some concerns from people in the town, which, of course, it's good for people to express at this point in the process. And Elise Sattler, who sat in on some of the planning and zoning meetings where they're discussing the permits for this, said, you know what, I want to talk to these guys who are planning to start Birch Hill and just really find out who they are. So interesting interview with them.
All right, now we'll go on to your story, Cynthia, about the Lakeville Journal Company building being sold to Salisbury Bank and Trust and to where you might be moving to.
Well, I'm going to let Janet talk about this.
Okay, yeah, and I'm quoted in the story. Of course, Cynthia did write it and interviewed Rick Cantelli, the president of Salisbury Bank and Trust, too. I mean, this is no secret that this has been in the planning stages for almost a couple of years, and It finally came to pass where the closing happened last Friday. So we are announcing this. We mentioned that our plan is to move to Falls Village, but because we haven't yet signed the lease for the property, we're not going to go into full announcement mode on that. But once that happens, we'll see the story on that next step, too, and we're looking forward to an entirely new place to be, and it's... it'll be great.
Well, people have said to us over the years how efficient and how scaled down everything is in the broadcasting industry, and it's the same way in your industry. I mean, you really no longer have need for so much humongous space.
That's so true. You know, when Bob Estabrook built the building we're in on Bissell Street in Lakeville right now, from 1982 to 1983, it was a whole different sort of industry, especially for a company that printed its own publications. And we did have presses. We had, at that time, not only the Goss Community Press that printed the newspapers, but we also had sheet-fed presses, and they had a printing operation going for the community. Things changed, and that back room, the warehouse space that was the print shop, was now rented out to Rory O'Connor, an American Dollhouse, doll rooms, I should say. And it's just, it was time to look at it carefully and decide, what would be more efficient for us to run the company and what our mission, and fulfill our mission. And, you know, this is certainly a good path for that. And I think Salisbury Bank will create a wonderful structure out of this, building that exists now, and it'll just be great for Lakeville and for the employees at Salisbury Bank, too.
And you won't have to put up with turning onto Route 44 anymore.
Oh, my gosh. You are so right about that. It's like, okay, I just go left? But, sometimes you sort of want to go right. It's very difficult coming out of that street.
Here's my advice. Cross the street, go into a neighbor's drive yard, and then take a left.
That's ridiculous.
It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know who designed it, but I guess...
They obviously have a camera someplace and are watching all the people trying to do this is what it is. All right, we'll move on here. Shaw has a story out of Winsted. At Winsted forms a drug task force to fight opioid abuse.
And, of course, this is a Winsted story, but it's also a regional story. It's actually it's a nationwide story, which is the rise of the use of heroin and other opioids and continuing to have, deaths of young people, which is too heartbreaking. And one of the selectmen in Winsted has said, we're going to start a task force, and it's going to be an interesting approach, which is we're going to enforce much more heavily and make it very clear that this is not a place where you want to be dealing or where you want to be selling or a place to be using, but that they're also going to be reaching out and trying to help people who are addicted to get help and to sort of overcome some of these cost and insurance hurdles, which are substantial, and get them into treatment.
All right. I want to just drop down a little bit. You've got a picture there, Brian Oler, but also the Emergency Service Center finally, it's been open, but it now has its grand opening.
That is one of the nicest photos ever of Brian Oler, looking very presidential and handsome, and of course, very proud in Falls Village, and we'll talk about that when we get inside, but really nice ceremony over the weekend to dedicate it.
All right. And we've been talking about this now for about a week or so coming up. Your headline says journalism in a troubled time, but it's more like journalism in Trump time.
Yeah.
The Salisbury Forum is having another forum.
Yeah, it's an interesting moment, of course, for all of us, for journalists, but especially for journalists covering national politics. And Steve Call, an incredibly experienced guy and a really particularly interesting speaker coming up at the Salisbury Forum, which is going to be September 22nd, this coming Friday, a week from tomorrow at Hotchkiss.
All right, we will slide to the inside, and there you go, cow chips ahoy, fun for all at the Ag Fair.
Yeah, so, and of course, one of the great draws of the Cornwall Ag Fair is a lot of ladies and gentlemen who really know how to can and preserve. So they always have a very popular table with preserves. They had games. They had sack races. They have the cutest photo ever of Skip Kosciuszko holding a little baby duck. But one of the highlights, I think, one of the quirkiest, funniest activities is they mark off 1,000 squares on the green field near Town Hall. They feed two cows with lots and lots of yummy cow food and then let them loose on the field. And whichever cow... whatever square the first cow drops a little cow pie on, that's the winning ticket.
And if it happens to fall on two squares, they cut and weigh and measure.
Jesus.
And whichever has the most wins the prize.
It's a wonderful
thing. I never knew that, but
thing.
It happened in Sharon years ago, and that's what they do. They cut weight, man. Because the cow always isn't always perfect.
And reporter Alexander Wilburn walked in, and they all started saying, remember that year when it took 15 hours for the cows? He was happy.
Well,
it was
years
quicker.
Ago in Sharon, the cow got loose. I absolutely did. And a guy tried to grab the cow by a rope that was around his neck, and he grabbed it. And, of course, he forgot that the cow weighs 800 pounds.
Dislocated his shoulder?
No, but he went for a ride. It was like a rodeo.
Yeah, I mean, again.
That was years and years ago.
That's the fun stuff. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on here. And this is an interesting story by Patrick Sullivan, how and why towns got their names.
Our wonderful Tim Abbott, who we love and who writes so knowledgeably about our landscape and about animals around here, a slightly unusual talk for him. It was the final of this year's First Tuesdays at 7 talk in Falls Village at the Historical Center, and he talked about the interesting, because, you know, when you drive around here and you see some of the street names, you just have to laugh. Some of them are so interesting. So he gives a little history on how and why some of these towns got their names.
All right, and we'll move over to a great story, Alexander, Finish Line in Sight for the American Mural Project.
This is one of the nice things about our new partnership with the Winsted Journal, which has been folded into the Lakeville Journal. Ellen Griesdick, who lives in Sharon, is married to the wonderful Sam Posey, and has been doing this phenomenally interesting project in Winsted. And it's always been a little, you know, which paper do we cover it in? We're actually happy now to have coverage that we can really focus on. Where we talk about Ellen as a Sharon resident, but also about this really exciting project that she's doing in Winsted. It's really a world-class project that she's planning to finish in 2018, right on schedule, and it's a tribute to American workers, and it's quite beautiful.
It's going to be the largest mural, and she has been at this for years now.
Yeah, but on schedule. 2002 she started.
And just give her so much credit for the diligence that she has been doing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, she's quite a woman.
Yep. All right, we will go over then. Conserving Cornwall draws newcomers to library.
They're so sneaky and clever in that town of Cornwall. So when people move to town, of course, you know, they know because we have the property transfers and everything. So they invite the newcomers to a tea party. And then while they're at the tea party, they say, by the way, here's how Cornwall works. We all volunteer. And then they always have a talk by one of the volunteer organizations. This year it was the Cornwall Conservation Trust, which is doing a lot of amazing work and encouraging local folk, as we do in all of our towns, to come help out.
All right. We will move on to the Our Towns page once again. Falls Village, the fire trucks have a home, which we just talked about.
The firehouse in Falls Village is so tiny. It's right next to the Falls Village Inn, or the former firehouse. And they've had all of their fire trucks scattered throughout the town. So this is a chance for them now to actually have all the equipment in one place. And very easy, you know, speaking of Route 44, very easy for them to get in and out of the building because it's right on Route 7. So congratulations to them. And they started planning in 1996. That's
all right, now this is an interesting story, fraudulent info on the Birch Hill petition.
Yeah, there's no question that there was some fraud. It's not really clear to me who perpetrated. It doesn't sound like it was the Birch Hill people themselves, but somebody was starting a petition and they put the land use administrator's signature and stationery on there. And so taking steps immediately to make sure that that is taken down and that people are not signing something that was not put forth by the town.
And Pat McHare is getting a party on September 23rd, 40 years of service to Falls Village. But they should put that on hold. Just if she wins the election to the Board of Education,
that's right.
They're going to add on.
That's right. Well, of course, she's been first selectman for many years. She was a selectman for many years. She's been a basketball referee for many years. Just an amazing person. Yes, running for Region 1 Board of Education. And the day after that, there's going to be a truck pull in Falls Village.
All right. Flat Rocks Road Bridge repairs.
Yeah, a lot of bridges getting work done. And, of course, explanations about some of the They, of course, make an effort to not disrupt traffic, but read Layla's stories about that and the Toby Hill Bridge in North Canaan, about what to keep an eye out for in terms of road closures.
All right. Mid-century arrives in the Falls Village at a new shop.
Michael Clemens, who is famous around here for so many reasons. Lovely, interesting guy. Worldwide expert on herpetology. really knows his thing about turtles and snakes and frogs. In fact, is hired by many large companies to be expert on it, has written the book for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But he also has an interest in mid-century design, and so he's opened a little shop in what used to be the town hall in Falls Village. And actually, I'm not sure if people remember that. He used to live in it. He was one of the first tenants in that space while he was renovating his own house. So, interesting new shop.
And Toby Hill Bridge on the docket for 2019.
Yeah, these bridges take a long time. But coming up, and a lot of infrastructure work coming up in North Canaan as they're finishing up the depot, which should happen any minute.
All right, I want to move on to the next page, a story in Kent. Kent teachers object to the new grading plan.
So all of the Region 1 school district schools are having their first boards of education meetings in the next, actually many of them are meeting this week. So often at the beginning of school, there is something that the teachers across the region are concerned about and speak out about. And so I suspect that we'll be hearing about this from other schools. But so the teachers in Kent, a continuation of concerns as the new superintendent, Pamela Vogel, has moved in and is implementing a new way of grading. And so the teachers are saying, you know, actually we had said originally we were going to sort of roll this out slowly and see how we work with it. And they came back to school and found that it had been implemented 100%, and they have some concerns about it. So read that article to learn those concerns.
And the upgrades are just about complete.
I know, pretty good, pretty close to schedule. You know, that was a lot of work to try and get done in 3 months. And if you saw the dumpsters out there at the beginning of the summer, Patrick actually had a photo of it. There was a lot to do there. So they're almost done with the locker rooms and the science rooms, and congratulations to them.
All right. And by the way, all the football games are going to be played at Hoosier this year because they can't be played at Oliver Wolcott.
Which is a shame for Oliver Wolcott, but it'll be great because they have these nice new locker rooms. And one of the coaches has said to me, actually, they prefer to play at home because the lockers are actually so much nicer here.
Well, plus you get to
plus it's
play.
Closer.
All right. And I love the story. The selectman, the driver, slowed down. I saw this on the video of the meeting. And Curtis Rand is right. The state's going to look at you and say, no, we're not going to change the speed limit. Enforce the speed limit. That's what they're going to say that.
Which makes sense. And actually, as we talk about these changes to the Lakeville roads, that's the theory behind it, is that by making those roads slightly difficult to navigate, that it forces you to slow down.
Slightly?
And we'll just...
they're succeeding.
Shall we say.
They should leave it like it is right now, and they don't have to worry about speeders at all.
They should probably understand who the drivers are.
All right. You've got your football predictions there again.
Very interesting. Yeah. Patrick Sullivan, very pleased with himself that he was the winner. He was the champion in choosing who would win last Sunday's football game. So this will be a weekly feature through the football season.
All right. And is that who's over? Jim Rollins in the Highland Lake.
Yeah.
He must have
Do you know him?
No, but I can figure.
It's been chilly out there.
I was going to say, paddling at this time of the year, it's got to be chilly.
Especially this year, because even people I know who are pretty dedicated lake swimmers have been saying, it's just too cold to be in there. But so they had a small crew at the relay race, but people did show up and they had a good time.
All right. I want to go on to the opinion page. And there you go. There's the editorial about you moving, Janet.
That's right. And that's our headline. Have you heard? Because we've been hearing all kinds of rumors from people about, what we're doing. And so we tried to lay those rumors and, just say what's happening. And so what we do in this editorial is do that. You know, I was at Millbrook Day, on Saturday, and somebody came up to our table and said, oh, I heard you're closing the Millerton News. I said, no, we're really, really not. We really like having the Millerton News, and we have a lot of good support for it. So, this is the editorial where we explain where we're at right now, and we will continue to do this as we move forward.
That's the great thing about news, is like you can even make it true.
Friendship is not always the best choice to make. Peter Riva.
Peter Riva, who we are so glad to have in our pages of both our papers, the Millerton News, where he is every week. Of course, he lived in a media union for many years. And even after moving to New Mexico, he faithfully writes for us weekly. And sometimes we have space in the Lakeville Journal for him. So here Peter talks about, the idea behind relationships and when it's good to pursue them and when it's not. on the international stage.
A couple of response letters, one about Blumenthal did lie about his service, Mr. Peel, and I love the letter from Barbara Maltby. Whoa, right.
We think it's worth reading both of these, yes, because we love to have the opposing views to what our columnists write, and that's what we have here. Tom Alonia from North Canaan talks about a column by Tony Peel where he talked about how our Senator Blumenthal did present himself in reference to his military career. And so Tom Alonia takes issue with what Mr. Peel wrote. And Barbara Maltby is taking issue with Mark Godburn's On the Record column that was titled American Media Worse Than the Russians. And so she presents another side.
And question, the original, the letters themselves can be found on the web the week before?
It can be found online at our website,
right.
tricornernews.com. And if you just do the search for, we'd say what edition they're in. But anyway, if you just look on our website and do a search for some of those keywords, you'll find them because they're open to everybody, the columns.
All right, and the Viewpoint page has three other different columns.
Right. We have from Rich Kessin, who is our expert on all kinds of things relating to science, the body scientific. It writes about Ebola and other diseases and the progress that's been made. This is part two of two. If you want to read the first part, you can also... Well, you can pick up your paper from last week, or you can go to the website.
Absolutely. We will move on now. And one final story that Shaw covered up at Winston, and that was the benefit concert for the people in Texas.
Yeah. It's between Texas and Florida and, of course, the Caribbean, a lot of destruction, a lot of help needed. And my sense is that they're happiest to have people sending money, if you can find the right organization. So that's what they did. They had a money fundraiser at Infinity Hall, but also a pet groomer who put up on her Facebook page that she's collecting product and did, in fact, collect a lot of things for many of the animals who lost their owners or who got separated from their owners. So kind of, heartwarming stories.
All right. And on to Compass. On to Compass.
Yeah. So Compass is actually in the paper this week, just this week, and it'll be back out in, I think, larger size a couple times coming up.
This is the slow time of the year. That's how we define when Compass is a separate publication. And once we get into leaf peeping season, things pick up a bit more. And so, in October, we'll have it as a separate tabloid again.
So Patrick Sullivan reviewing the new Stephen King movie It, which everybody's talking about, and fans of Patrick Sullivan will be disappointed to know he liked it. So it's, of course, not quite as funny as some of his columns when he doesn't like it, but fans of Stephen King will be happy to know that he liked it. And a good review, and a nice shout out to the Millerton Movie House, which did something special. You can find out about it when you read his review. Coming up this weekend, the Equus Effect, my friend Jane Strong, has started this amazing program here in Sharon of working with veterans on post-traumatic stress disorder recovery and helping them re-engage with society. And she had seen a play in New York by a guy called Stephen Wolfert called Cry Havoc about his decision to be an actor, to be in the military, and then his difficulty in reassimilating back into the world. And so there'll be a performance of that and a fundraiser at Quarry Hill Farm in Lakeville. For details on how to get tickets, to read that article. They're closing down a road in Dover and Pauling until October 23rd. I know, how funny is that? A Quiet Place, the wonderful Emily Blunt, what an amazing actress, and John Krasinski from The Office, which is a show I don't watch that often, but I do know John Krasinski's my favorite character. And so a little explanation about the movie that they're working on. And then really one of a Leon Graham masterclass here in his review of Kit White's work at the Eckert Gallery, which is now in Kent. And just a very interesting discussion about the history of art and where this show fits into that history of art, and a summary of what the work is like. So really like taking a small class, a workshop in art history. And, of course, coming up this weekend, as you were talking about earlier, the Art Walk in Sharon, tons of stuff going on. Tours of people's studios, Porchlight, the wine bar, I believe, is going to be open, Theo Colomb's new space with photography, your neighbor down the street, and Jeff Joyce, one of my favorite painters, is doing an opening at the lovely Darren Winston's lovely bookshop.
And we've got the Sharon Art Gallery at the Town Hall and the Hotchkiss Library.
That's right. So it's Sharon Historical Society, too. just the fun never ends.
So it's nice to have that walk now that there's actually some businesses down.
Yeah, right? It's very light. It's a fun time to be in Sharon, and it looks like the weather's going to be good by Saturday.
All right. Well, that is this week's Lakeville Journal, and only a portion of it, of course. TriCornerNews.com on the web, and, of course, on your newsstands and home delivery. We'll speak to you both next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal on Robin Hood Radio.